The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good job, Brother JJ. Appreciate that very much. Take your Bible, if you will, go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and look down in verse 20, where the Bible says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus," it says the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, watch what it says, "they are entangled again therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." All right, and so here we have, I believe, that which is Peter testifying, because who else could testify to such level in understanding what the degrees of backsliding, the effects of that, the result of that is. And so I do want to speak tonight on the autonomy of a backslider. So we're going to take and we're going to study that which is Peter's life a little bit. Matter of fact, look down, if you will, you're in 2 Peter. Look at verse 22, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, just the first portion of this verse, the Bible says, "And it is happened unto them according to the true proverb." Now watch what it says about the dog here. It says the dog is returned to his own vomit. Watch this. You ready? Again. Again. Okay, so here's a person that has, or here's a dog that has tasted the vileness that has been produced by his own self, and yet he tastes it, returns to it again. Can I tell you, the Bible teaches that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
That's how come the Bible teaches that Paul himself expressly teaches that we're supposed to mortify the flesh. We're supposed to put to death the flesh. If you'll do a Bible study in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and you do a comparison there between that which is what is called the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see that the end result of the flesh never turns out good. But you'll see that the work of the Spirit gives that which is birth to that which is everlasting. The Bible teaches that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All right? And so let's talk about this autonomy of a backslider. And we're going to go to the book of Mark tonight. I want you to land there with me. And in particular, one chapter in the book of Mark, if you will, that'd be Mark chapter 14. And we're going to follow a trail of Peter tonight. And then after that, we're going to launch over to 1 Peter and 2 Peter and hear Peter testify after he's walked down the trail of being a backslider. Okay, but let's find out what he did as a backslider tonight. Okay, watch this. We're in Mark chapter 14. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, listen to it now. "And Jesus saith unto them," now we understand who these are. Jesus saying unto them, who are these? This is Peter, James, and John, the other disciples that are there. But watch this, if you will. The Bible says, "And Jesus saith unto them," it says, "ye shall be offended because of me this night." And so those that are getting ready to follow him, and of course then they were separated out from the disciples, Peter, James, and John. They follow him all the way over to Gethsemane, and it was our Lord that looked at them and told them to stay and to pray. But now watch this, if you will. And so Peter, here he is, this is Peter now, and Peter's going to be very vocal about this. So the Lord just got done saying, "I just want you to know that it's going to be a time when you are going to be offended because of me." And now Peter hears that, and Peter speaks up in Mark chapter 14 and verse 29. The Bible says, "And Peter answered him and said, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." He said, "Look, Lord, you can say that all's going to be offended, but I'm going to tell you," and this is Peter now, Peter, many times descriptively, you find out in your Bible that Peter often, more than not, would say things than he would think about it. You would find out that that John the Beloved was totally different than that. John the Beloved would wait to say things, and sometimes, of course, would speak very much with his heart because he thought about it so very much, but he thought before he spoke. But you find out that Peter speaks often, more than not, before he thinks. And so here he is, and he says this. Peter saith unto him, although it says, all shall be offended, yet will not I. He said, now, Lord, you're saying all of us are going to be offended this night, but I'm not going to be offended. All right, so what do you see as we start to walk down the trail of seeing why Peter backslid? Here's the first thing you see, pride. Pride. So a person says, well, I tell you what, I don't need all that church. Pride. I don't need all that preaching. Pride. I don't need to read my Bible that much. Pride. I don't need to go to the altar and pray. I can pray in my seat. I can wait till I get home and pray. Pride. I don't need to obey authority. Pride. I don't need to listen to my parents. Pride. I don't need to listen to what that preacher says from the pulpit, what the Sunday school teacher says from the place they're teaching. I don't need somebody to give me a godly counsel. Pride. Okay, and so here's what it says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 30. Here's what it says. Jesus is saying unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, it says, thou shalt deny me thrice. All right, so the Lord said, now Peter, you'll understand what you're saying, because you will deny me. And the Bible says in verse 31, the Bible says he spake more vividly. He says, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And so here's a man standing up. Here's Peter. The Lord saying, now look, Peter, look, you're going to deny me before the end of the day. You're going to deny me several times. And Peter says, Lord, you don't understand. He's getting kind of vivid with his voice. You can see his pitch probably going up. Say, you don't understand, Lord. I am not going to deny you. He said, I may die this day, but I am not going to deny you. And then, of course, you know, he who shouts the loudest gets the most votes many times. And so what takes place is now all the other guys are saying, now, wait a minute. Hey, we're with him. We'll never deny you either. They spoke up too. But here's what you see. You see a man that is full of pride. One day a young preacher got up and he went up into the pulpit. He's very proud about his preaching skills, his preaching techniques, his delivery style. And so he got up and with great pride and arrogancy, he opened his Bible. Lo and behold, his notes was gone. He fumbled through his pages. He couldn't find it. He became embarrassed. He got humbled. He ran down from the pulpit. Two older ladies met him in the back of the church and said, son, if you would have went up in that pulpit like you came down out of that pulpit, then you could have came down out of that pulpit like you went up in that pulpit. What were they saying? You went up with too much pride. You came down humble. But if you would have went up humble, you might have had something to be proud of. We have to be very careful. Well, look at me. Look who I am. Yeah, let me tell you, don't get mad at me, but who you and I are. We are sinners saved by grace. That's who we are. No big shots around Parkside Baptist Church. We're just a bunch of sinners serving Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Well, let me tell you, I had a high day in Sunday school, high day on the bus, high day out soul winner. Hey, can I tell you, it's only by the grace of God. Now, we should give it everything we've got. We ought to push. We ought to get out there and try and pass it. It's better to pass out more tracts than less tracts. It's better to soul win more than less. It's better to hear more Bible preaching than less Bible preaching. But let's never get so picked up and so proud in ourselves that we think that God's work cannot be done without us. Can I tell you, God will always make sure his work sustains itself. He will. Remember years ago, man got mad at me when I pastored in Tennessee. He was one of the deacons. He got mad at me, came into my office, threw a fit. He said, we didn't have all this type of soul winning stuff before you came. You're ruining our church. By the way, soul winning never ruins a church. Church is already ruined if they're not soul winning. He said, man, you're destroying the thing. Took his keys, threw them on the desk. Took his tithing envelopes, threw them all over the office. And he said, I'm leaving. He said, and to be honest with you, without me, this church will sink. I looked at him and I said this, just a couple words. You think too much of yourself. Can I tell you, listen, it's important for us to understand it's not, hey, God uses you. God wants to use you. You're a vessel supposed to be meat for the master's use, but don't get so high-minded. Don't get so heady. Don't get so all about me that you think that you're the reason that God exists. It's because of God, dear friend, that you exist. If it wasn't for God tonight, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be breathing. You wouldn't be eating. You wouldn't be smoking. I'm just seeing if you're listening. Number one, pride. Number one, pride. Statement number two, laziness. You know, when somebody is proud, they start to give excuses. They start to excuse it away. Many times in our day, a person will say, I'm sick and I can't show up on Sunday, but they feel just as bad on Monday and they show up to work. Shows their priorities. I've often said, show me your checkbook, I'll show you where your priorities are. Hey, I'm saying that laziness. Here it is. Over in Mark chapter 14 is where we are. Here they're coming now. Now it's Peter, James, and John. They're leaving the other disciples. He's taking these three gentlemen with him, these three disciples. They're heading over to Gethsemane. The Bible says that he says to these disciples, sit ye here. He says, while I shall pray. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. Verse 33, the Bible says that he taketh Peter, James, and John, it says. And again, he was sore amazed, and he was heavy. So he's got a heavy burden. He's looking at these three, Peter, James, and John. He says, come with me. I've got a heavy heart. I'm heavy. Come with me and pray. And by the way, when somebody says, will you come with me and pray? You know, they're trusting you. You turn to some, you go to your mom and say, would you pray with me? Go to your dad, would you pray with me? Hey, that's an honor. You go to your son, go to your daughter, go to your wife, go to your husband. Will you pray with me? That's an honor. The Bible says right here in verse 34, and he saith unto them, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Verse 35, and he went, says a little further, and he fell on the ground, and he prayed that if it be possible that this hour might pass from him. Verse 36, the Bible says, and he said, Abba, Father, says, all these things are possible unto thee. He says, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, he said, not what I will, but what thou wilt. He said, I'd like to have this heavy burden taken away. But God, if you don't want to take the heavy burden away, watch the attitude. He said, it's okay. God, I've got this heavy thing I'm carrying. I've got this heavy burden. You know, I've got this disease. I've been fighting this disease for years. And God, I just pray, would you take it away? But God, if it's not your will to take it away, won't get mad at you, won't get upset at you, got to talk bad about you. God, I'm not even going to get on Facebook and talk bad about you. God, here's what I'll do. I'll just say, hey, look, it's okay. He was putting his will in the will of the Father. That's the best place for you to put your will. God, I tell you, I'd like to be a pastor one day. Good. I'd like to be an evangelist one day. Good. I'd like to be a doctor one day. Good. I'd like to be a nurse one day. Good. I'd like to be able to have a multi-million-dollar business one day. Good. But can I tell you, if that never happens in your life, God is still good. He deserves your loyalty. He deserves your faithfulness. He deserves everything you can give him, because you ought not to judge God based on what you get and what you don't get. God, if you're going to judge him on the basis of who he is, what he's already done for you. Here's what we understand. The Bible says in verse 31, the Bible says, and he spake, he says, more vividly in verse 31. This is Peter saying, he said, look, Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. He's already said this. He said, I'm not going to be offended, and I'll be willing to die for you. Just a little while longer. And we're talking just a little while longer. They're heading over to the garden. Peter, James, John. Heading over to the garden, he just said, Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. The very next thing you find out, what? He's lazy, falling asleep. First he said, I'm going to die. I'll go to jail for you, Lord. I'll die for you, Lord. Then you find out, Lord comes back, and the guy was asleep. Now, wait a minute. If we're going to say we're going to do something, the Bible says in verse 37, look at it, Mark chapter 14, verse 37, he cometh and he findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Says, couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Hey, Peter just got done saying, Lord, hey, I'll tell you, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. God, that's what I'll do for you. And he couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. Be careful what you say. Don't be somebody, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have the largest bus route in the state of Texas. Careful. Hey, I'm going to go to the mission field, be the greatest missionary that God ever created. Careful. I'm going to be the greatest preacher known to humanity. Careful. Boy, I can't wait till I have children. My children are going to be the best children ever created by God. Careful. I'm saying this tonight. Here he is. First, you see this. First Peter is a person that says, hey, Lord, I'll be willing to go to jail for you. I'll not deny you. I'll do this, Lord. I'll be willing to die for you. And all of a sudden, you find him falling asleep. He gets lazy. Statement number next, here's what happens. Then he becomes a coward. See, first it starts inwardly, doesn't it? Pride swells up inwardly. Then a few people see it. Who saw him fall asleep and not even have enough character to keep his word? He just got done saying, I'd be willing to die for you. I'd be willing to go to prison for you. And then he couldn't even keep his eye. And now all of a sudden, who sees it? Who sees it first? Those that know you best. They know if you read your Bible or not. They know what you watch on television or not. They know what you're listening to or not. They know what words you're using or not. They know if you're giving that which is forgiveness and love or not. Those that know us best know us thoroughly. So now all of a sudden there's Peter, James, and John. Peter being, if you would please, the boisterous one that say, hey, Lord, I'll be well. Couldn't even stay awake 1 hour. Then what you find is we follow Peter's trail. Look at it. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. The Bible says, and Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself at the fire. So here he is. He's following afar off. Well, what about this guy that said, hey, I'll be right beside you. Don't have to worry about me. I'll be there. What about that guy? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where was the one that said, hey, Lord, not only will I be right beside you, I'll be willing to die. I will never deny you. Never. Never. And by the way, as you voice it, now praise God for those that, hey, thank God for those that say amen in church. Hey, thank God for that. You know what you're doing? You're encouraging somebody. All I'm saying, if you're going to vocalize it here, put your feet to it here. That's all I'm saying. I'm all for the amens. Wish we had more guys that would say amen. By the way, let me help you. This is fun. You ready? We come to church, we learn, but we grow and we have fun. Okay? On the count of three, if you're a man, okay, I want you to say amen. Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Didn't that feel good? Amen. Man, you're able. You know what amen is saying? Amen is saying, go sick them to a preacher.
Amen.
Yeah, every time you say amen like that, I'm going to preach for another hour.
Amen.
Isn't that good? Not really. That which is pride. That which is pride. Then it led into excuse. I'm tired. The arm of the flesh shall fail you. And so he said, look, I can't even stay awake. Then all of a sudden you find out he's following afar off, so now he's turned cowardly. By the way, I think it's a shame that we don't carry our Bibles to places nowadays. I think it's a shame if you go to a restaurant as a Christian, when the food's delivered, you're so ashamed of Christ, you don't bow for prayer. I think it's a shame. I'm not saying you got, I played with the, it's very rare that Josh and Mindy ever get to go eat with us, but theirs was one of the buses that was not functioning today. And so he had his workers, and I appreciate all the workers, as I've already said, using your cars. And so they used a vehicle, and they took people home. And so they were able to get back because you can only fit so many people in a vehicle. And so we went over, and we was eating at McAllister's. And I said, okay, let's pray. And I started to pray. And then I said, thank you for the food. God, thank you for giving us a good day. Thank you for those that were saved at church and those that were baptized. And I said, dear Father, I pray that you'll start to bless the missionaries. And my wife pinched me right there. Say, what was that? That was a spiritual wife saying, that's enough. Don't pray around the world, okay? All right, now I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, but don't be a coward when it comes to standing for God in public. Don't be that way, okay? You ought to pray a little bit longer than, dear God, bless the food, amen. Or as you're bringing up the food, you got the fork right there, you got the fork right there, you got the fork right there, dear God, bless the food, amen. And when nobody sees you, hey, let them see you. Let them see you. Now take time and let them see you. You see somebody, by the way, you see somebody, they're over there praying, and they just pray for their meal. Hey, take one of those gospel tracts out. Go over, and by the way, pass them out whenever you leave a restaurant anyway, but go over. Somebody just got done praying, and say, I saw you bow your head for prayer. That is so neat. You a Christian?
Yes, sir.
That is neat. I am too. Where do you go to church?
Parkside.
Isn't that good? I go there too. Never see you, okay? All right? There's pride. You have to be careful because pride, if you will lead to laziness. Laziness now will be something that brings on the cowardness. Watch this. When you go soul winning all the time, you have no problem, stay with me now, talking to people even when it's not a soul winning day. You know why? Because you don't get rusty. You don't get rusty. Okay? If you spend time in private prayer, all of a sudden brother or sister comes up and says, hey, listen, I've got a burden. Will you pray with me about this? You have no problem praying with them right then and there. You have no problem bowing your head. So let's pray about it right now because I will forget. So normally when somebody comes up to me and they say, Pastor, will you pray with me about this? I say, yeah, come on, let's go over here. Let's step aside and let's go over here and pray. And I'll do it immediately. You know why? Because I want to keep my word. I'm 54. I forget things. So I don't want to say, hey, I'll tell you what, I sure will pray with you about that, because as soon as I say that, somebody else comes in, tells me another need, I just forgot their need. Okay? So I'm saying it's important for us to be able not to follow afar off. Here Peter is. Peter followed afar off, says, even into the palace of the high priest. The Bible says he sat with the servants. The Bible says, and he warmed himself. It says, by the fire. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know, don't be ashamed. Hey, the way you look, the way you walk, the way you talk, don't be ashamed. Watch this. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying it started with pride. Then comes laziness, couldn't pray for a while. Then what takes place after that? He cowardly, because now he's cutting out the spiritual things. You cut out your walk with God, being close to him. You cut out your prayer life, cut it out. When you cut it out, here's what takes place. You lose your boldness. You lose your boldness. Then church doesn't become as important. Coming late, no big deal. Not coming at all, no big deal. No big deal. Okay, married people, you ready? Should be natural for you to say to each other, I love you. Should be natural. Okay, not just in public, but as you leave the house, guys, get ready to go for work, you and your wife exchange those words, should be natural. When those natural words start to disappear, there should be a little warning sign, something is up. Something is wrong. But are you listening to me? Same thing with your children. I don't care how old you are tonight. Your college age, stand up. All the college age kids, stand up. Watch this. all college age. Stand up. You college age kids, can I tell you, you're not too old enough to look at your mom, look at your dad before you go to bed and say, I love you.
Amen.
You're not too old for that. You're not too old for that. You're not too old to do special things for your parents. You're not too old for that. Have a seat. Teenagers, stand. Watch this. Teenagers, stand. You ready, teenagers? If they can do it, so can you. So can you. Do things for your parents. You say, well, I'll tell you what, my parents ought to feed me because after all, I'm their kid. They feed you because they love you. Sure, they could feed you bread, butter, bread, water, bread, bread. Hey, all right, you ready? Have a seat. Children, here we go. Children, stand up. Here we go. You ready? Children. Say, am I a child? Oh, no. Ask your parents. Watch this. Now, if the college-age kids can do it, teenagers can do it, guess what? You can do it, too. You can do it, too. You can go in. Hey, do this sometime. Go to your dad sometime. Say, Dad, you're the greatest dad a person could have. Go to your mom. Say, nobody cooks like you. Nobody. No, I don't mean it that way. No, your mind is warped. I don't mean it that way. But what I'm saying, hey, go to your dad sometimes. Say, hey, Dad, notice that your work truck's kind of dirty. Can I clean it for you? Talking to teenagers too. College age kids too. Thank you, children. Be seated. Hey, look at it now. Go outside. Look at the vehicle. When's the last time it was washed and waxed? Is the grass growing up at your house and now it's up to the knees? If you're a teenager living at home, don't get mad at me. And by the way, your parent did not pay me to say this. Yet. They promised. But if you're a teenager living at home, your parents ought not to have to mow the lawn. Hey, you're living at home. Eating their food, sleeping in their bed, walking on their carpet. You know, some of you graduated from high school already. Your parents don't charge you rent. You get to eat for free. You're loafing off of them. Help out. Help out. Hey, take them out to eat. Help to furnish food. Help to keep the lights on. By the way, if you're not going to do that for your parents, I pity the girl you're going to marry. If you're not going to do that for your parents, I pity the guy. You say, I'm not going to ever help my mom cook. You never will learn how. One day you get married and he says, honey, will you cook for me? You'll look at him and say, oh, that's a strange word. What do you mean by that? You can't live off of eating out all the time. McDonald's will kill you. Okay, here we go. I got to quit there. Okay. Pride. Pride leads to that which is laziness. Many times laziness will lead to cowardness. You ready? Cowardness will lead to worldliness. You will get so used not standing for God. Now, by the way, everybody stands for something. Everybody does. Everybody does. You're either standing for that which is wrong or you're standing for that which is right. You're going to stand for something. Okay, Mark chapter 14, verse 54, again, the Bible says he followed afar off, even it says, into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself, it says, at the fire. So he became very comfortable with those that had aligned themselves against the Lord. He became very comfortable. You know, you can listen to cursing enough at work and not take a stand, that before you know it, you'll be saying it. You can listen to dirty jokes enough at work. Before you know it, you'll be saying them. You can listen to their music enough at work. Before you know it, you'll be humming it, singing it, dancing to it. I'm saying this. I'm saying it goes over to worldliness. Here's a person full of pride. Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll never do it. Hey, Lord, not only that, I'll be willing to die for you. 1 hour later, couldn't even stay awake. No character. Not long after that, here's what he does. He starts denying him. Or if you would please, he starts to sit down and become a coward along with those that are after our Lord. Not only that, then he becomes to be worldly. And then here's what he outright denies him. See, first, Brother Crutcher, it started in here. Started in here. Started in here. That's where it started. Right here. I've seen Christians do that. Cocky, arrogant, all about me, everybody's wrong, I'm the only right person on the planet. Arrogant, you know, got the chin up, walking around, feathers back here. Arrogant. Then all of a sudden, are you listening to me? As they become very, very proudful, then you try and get them to do something, they think that what you're asking them to do is below them. I'm too good for that. You're asking me to clean a bathroom? Do you know to whom you speak? You want me to touch that dirty water? Do you have any idea who you're speaking to? Yeah, we do. That's why we asked you. But they think that serving God is below. You want me to run my personal car and pick up a bus kid? I mean, after all, they've got dirty habits. Pride, many times, will cause us to excuse away opportunities to serve. We become lazy. Well, I want to do this and this. You know, proud people will always try to promote themselves for position. And that's all it's about, position. I deserve this. This position should be mine. I should be doing this. I can't believe they didn't ask me. But you know who people look for to help them out? It's those people that's working in the kitchen over there late at night, cleaning up after everybody has eaten and everybody's gone home. It's the ones that when we have a fellowship, they stay around, put up the tables, take out the trash. It's the ones that come up and they see there's some dirty windows, and instead of having to be asked, they just pick up something and start cleaning it. Servant's heart. Servant's heart. You know, here's Peter, very proud. Before you know it, you look at him. Here's what happens in his life. He becomes very, very lazy. Couldn't even keep his eyes open. Character is waning down. Then what takes place? You see Peter again, and here Peter is. He's cowardly talking to those around him. Then all of a sudden he starts to deny. Look at it. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. We're heading towards the home plate and we'll give you a cure. But watch this. He denies. The Bible says in verse 66, the Bible says, and as Peter, it says, was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids, it says, of the high priest. In verse 67, the Bible says, and she saw Peter warming himself and looked upon him and said, it says, thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Now watch this in verse 68, and he denied. He said, I know not neither the understand what thou sayest. He denied. Watch it, verse 69. And a maid saw him again. So here comes another maid. Saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this was one of them. And he denied again, the Bible says. And a little after, there stood, it says, beside him again, it says, and said to Peter, it says, stood by him and said to Peter, it says, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech, it says, it agreeth unto. In other words, his speech betrayed him. You know, Christians are supposed to talk different than other people. And the Bible says here in verse 71, and he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. I don't even know him. And he starts using vulgar language. See, the farther you get away from God, the more lazy you get in serving Christ, the more excuses you give not to serve Christ, the more you become comfortable with that which is cowardice and not standing up for God, worldliness and sitting down around those that are worldly and becoming comfortable, warming yourself beside the devil's fire like they are, the easier it is to deny him. And before you know it, you deny him so much, it is very bold. Bold. You start saying words you shouldn't say. Now wait a minute, what is the cure? Okay? We see the autonomy of a backslider. Let me give you the advice that Peter, now he's the guy that just we got done talking about. He's the one that backslid. He's the one that went all the way and backslid. Now, what's he going to say? He's looking back at it now. Go to 1 Peter. Watch this. He's looking back at his life now. 1 Peter chapter 5. Looking back at his life. And now he's going to say, let me tell you what I learned from my backsliding days. He's going to give us some advice how not to backslide. Statement number one. Here's what he teaches us. To guard against pride, you guard against pride with humility. He says, instead of being proudful, be humble. Here's what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, the Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. What is that? It takes somebody to humble themselves and submit to somebody that's an authority. That'd be talking about somebody in the church, talking about your parents. The Bible says, and ye all, it says, be subject unto one another, and be clothed, it says, with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He said, wait a minute, let me show you what I learned. I remember the day when I stood there right before we went into the garden. I remember. It's embedded in my heart, embedded in my soul. It's engrafted in my mind. I remember. I remember that day when the Lord said, hey, he said, I'm getting ready to go to Garden of Gethsemane and pray. And I was, the Lord was telling us about the time when they would come and take him. And I spoke up and I said, Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll go to jail for you, Lord. Lord, I'll be willing to die for you. I'll never deny you. God, never. Now I'll never do it. And he said it so loud and so boisterous that others also said. And by the way, I think you ought to testify like that, but I'm saying put your feet down and keep your feet down. Years ago when I entered into Christian service, I said, that's it. That's the plight of my life. That's what I'm going to do. I haven't turned back. I haven't sidestepped. I kept going. And if I can do it by the good grace of God, you can do it. You can serve God to whatever capacity that God leads you. Watch this. And so you guard against pride by being humble. Look in verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the almighty hand of God. It says that he may exalt you in due time. In other words, don't exalt yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. Man, we live in such a feeling-crazed society. People get too easily offended. Well, I'm offended that I didn't get used this way because, after all, I deserve. Now, dear friend, I love you in the name of Christ, but I'm going to tell you something. I deserve hell. Final penalty. That's what I deserve. And you do too. Serving God is a privilege. It's an honor. When I got saved, I'd show up at the church. And I'd volunteer to do things. They said, man, I need somebody to work on the bus route. I need somebody to work in children's church. I had no idea what I was doing. Just got saved. Had no idea. I didn't have a clue. All I knew is my pastor got up and he said, need bus route workers. Need somebody to work in a children's church. I went to children's church. You hear what they said in the children's church? Need somebody to lead the singing. And I went to them and said, how do you do that? I had no idea. These were Baptist Christian songs. I had no idea. In, right, out, right, up, right. Oh, come on. I didn't know any of that stuff. didn't know if I was in, out, up, or down. But can I tell you, listen to me. I'm saying this. Okay, here's what he did. He guarded against pride by being humble. By being humble, same number one. What did he learn from that time of backsliding? Here's what he learned. That he would work against laziness by being diligent. Now, he's testifying. That's what 1 Peter, 2 Peter's about. He's looking back at his life. He's remembering the time that he backslid. And he's looking back at his life and he's saying, let me tell you what I learned from that. Now watch what happens. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walking about, seeing whom he may devour. Watch this in verse 9. It says, whom it says, resist steadfast in the faith, it says, knowing the same afflictions, it says, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He said, everybody's facing the same thing. But you be diligent, be sober, be diligent. All right? So how is it to overcome that which is laziness? You be diligent. He's looking back. He's remembering. Watch this, if you will. Take your Bible and look at, I'm going to skip down to some of these. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter. We were in 1 Peter, now we're in 2 Peter. He says this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. Look at verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Give diligence, it says, to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, be diligent that you may be found in him, peace, without spot and blemish. All right, so what does he say? He said, here's the way to overcome. I remember the day when I was lazy, and here's the way to overcome laziness. Just be diligent. Don't show up to work late. Show up early. Be diligent. Be the first one to volunteer. Be diligent. Okay, wait a minute. Watch this. I'm going to give you the antidote. He said, instead of cowardice, glorify God. Watch what happens. 1 Peter, we're back in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Watch what he says in verse 16. It says, yes, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. He said, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In other words, when you suffer persecution, here's what you do. Glorify God. Well, they made fun of me because I stood for God at work. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, I took my stand here. All right, you praise God. So what do? All right, instead of being somebody that's cowardly and do not stand for God, you glorify God. I'm in a hurry. Here it is. Instead of worldliness, you abstain. He had problems with the worldliness, sitting down beside the devil's fire, getting comfortable. Worldliness, identifying with those that he should not be even sitting close to. Getting comfortable, worldliness. Okay, watch this. Here's what he says. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 11. It says, dearly beloved, he says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. What's the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. He said, abstain from that. That tries to take your will away, your emotions away. It tries to take your mind away. Abstain from it. Here's what he says in verse 12. Having, it says, your conversation, that your lifestyle says, honest before the Gentiles. So if they speak evil against, it says, they speak against, it says, you as evildoers. It says that your good works, that they may, by your good works, which the Bible says, they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He said, let your good works show forth. And one last one, here we go. Instead of denying, give defense. Give defense. You see, we shouldn't have to defend God. God ought to be able to defend himself. Yes, through you. Through you. How can you do that? Okay, instead of saying, boy, I tell you what, the creation has been good to me. Why don't you say, man, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. Instead of going up Christmas time saying happy Xmas, it's Merry Christmas. You know, instead of being somebody, if you will, please, that says the Pledge of Allegiance and leaves one nation under God out, put it in there louder. Use the money while we still got it. Where it says on our American currency, in God we trust. Somebody said in a recent survey, they're allowing 82% of the Muslim immigrants to come in that say that they're Muslim, and only 8 to 10% that are Christian. You say, oh, that's terrible. We're going to be overrun. No, you know what that means? Lots of opportunity to lead people to Jesus Christ. Go in the bookstore, get yourself a book, How to Lead Muslims to Christ. And go after them. Help them. The same God that saved you, same God that saved me. Brother Wash, Sterling Wash, you met him. He and I went to public school together, North Carolina High School. Went to public school together in Manchester, Maryland. He's the guy that leads all the conference singing for the Sword of the Lord. I was telling Sterling, I said, isn't this amazing? We went to school together. I was a Catholic boy. I'm preaching at the Sword Conference. You're a Methodist boy, and you're leading singing. Isn't that a testament of the grace of God? Now, can I tell you that God can use us if we don't backslide? Now, wait a minute. Instead of denial, what do? You defend. 1 Peter, here is last verse I'll read you. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify, it says, the Lord God in your hearts. That's where it starts, right? Remember Peter over here in the heart? Things are kind of getting kind of proud in the heart. He voices it out. Hey, Lord, I'll not deny you. I will go to prison for you. I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. Never, 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 never. And all of a sudden, guys stand up, start following. You ready? Hey, right? Never, 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 never. But by the way, I would rather have this than not have this. I mean, I'm not saying don't do this. But I'm saying when you do this, please do it with the right heart. And don't think it's about you. Please don't do that. We have enough arrogant Christians walking around that's full of themselves. Amen. We have enough of that. Guys walking around like, you know, let me show you what true Christianity is like. Look at me. You know, that's sick. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what it says. Thank you, Phyllis. Watch that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. Watch what it says of the hope. Now, who's the hope? Jesus Christ. Of the hope that is in you, says, with meekness and fear. He's the hope of glory. He is our hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? Instead of denying him, speak up and say, let me tell you, I was in line one day and this guy had a bad mouth, he's saying curse words. And I said, no, don't say that in front of me. I'm a Christian. I don't want you talking that way in front of me. Plus, my wife's right here. He said, what would you have done if he would have tried to hit you? I would have turned to my wife and said, I'm going to duck, take care of him. Isn't it amazing, though? It is. It really is. On the plane, open my Bible, start to study as I fly to preach somewhere. I open my Bible and start to read, and somebody sit down me, and here's what they do. They stare at that Bible. It's like it's, what is that? That is going to bite me. Now stare at it. Person sat down, I told you this, person sat down, I said, hey, look, we're getting ready to take off. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, I'm a preacher, I'm a Christian, I care about people. I said, if you die, do you know where you go to heaven? Got it settled. Scared him. Pressed the buzzer. Little stewardess came back. He said, man, I don't want to sit beside him. She said, is there a problem? I don't want to sit beside him. He's all nervous. I don't know if he thought I was Muslim dressed this way or what. This is how I travel. I'm shirt and tie is how I travel when I preach all. And so, I was probably one of the most well-dressed on the, and I don't sit beside him. He got up and left. He said, man, Brother Wells, what'd you think about that? Elbow space. Now, I didn't mean to offend him, though. Honestly, I didn't. I wasn't trying to be arrogant. I just care about people. I just care about people. Michael something, Poison, Christian rock group. Anyway, I was flying out of Phoenix. You know what I'm talking about? Michaels? I forget the guy's name. What was it? Brent. Brett? Brett, yeah. I was on a plane. I was flying out of Phoenix, and I just happened to have enough miles. They put me in first class. This guy was already sitting there. They set me down beside this guy by the name of Brett Michaels. Has a rock group, Poison. And man, he had holes all through his jeans, long hair that I thought needed to be washed. I'm sitting beside him. Yeah, everybody's coming up. Man, they're taking off their shoes, passing them up. He's signing shoes. He's signing ball cap stuff. And I'm sitting beside him. We're getting ready to take off. I said, hi, I'm Pastor Wells. Who are you? He looked at me and said, you don't know who I am? I said, no, I really don't. He said, you don't know who I am? I said, no, I don't. I said, but people's getting you to sign things, so I guess, you know, you're somebody that signs things. And he said, I can't believe you don't know who I am. I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't know. I said, do you know who I am? He said, no, I don't. I said, I'm Pastor Wells, Pastor of Parkside Baptist Church. Was that? Yeah. Not here yet. I'm Evangelist Mike Wells. That's who I was then. I've changed. Evangelist Mike, thank you. Evangelist Mike Wells, I said, I'm traveling here. That's right, I was flying, I was preaching around. Yeah, and so I said, Evangelist Mike Wells, I always carried tracts with me. I just preached at this church and whatnot. And I said, and so I just want to talk to you a little bit. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, I know what you want. He said, you want my money. You have a charitable organization and you want my money. I said, Mr. Michaels, I could care less about your money. I don't want one penny you got, but I do care where you're gonna spend eternity. Amen. That's what I care about. Now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you from the Bible what the Bible teaches about going to heaven. And I think it'd be good if you listen, because God put me in this seat for a reason. And we're here together. We're here the whole trip. I didn't smile, though. I didn't. He would have went, zzz. So let me show what the Bible says. So I showed him how to be saved, Brother Crutcher. And he listened to me. He said, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, that's your intro because you want money. He had this thing lodged in his head. I guess a lot of people hit him up for money. He had this thing lodged in his head. You want money. I said, look, I'm telling you, I don't want any of your money. I don't need any of your money. You know, they started telling me all the stuff they owned and stuff like that. And, you know, I said, I am not, don't get me wrong. I said, but I'm not impressed by any of that stuff. I said, what concerns me is where you're going to spend eternity. Hey, we got 2 hours left. Let me go over it again. I went over it again. After I got done going over it a second time, you know, he said, okay, all right, okay, so you're religious. I said, you don't get it. Let's go over it again. I went over it 3 times. Here's what he said. I'm understanding this. My kids, I've got 2, had their names, still does today, I guess, tattooed on his arms. He rolled it up, showed me the names of his kids. And he said, my kids really need this. I said, no, Brett, you need this. Amen. And without this, one day, as I showed you from the Bible, you're going to die, you're going to burn in hell. I don't want that for you. I don't care who you are. You can sign your way all the way into hell. I don't want that for you. Now, can I say, never received Christ, but he heard 3 times. And by the way, after I got, I was on a plane, witnessed this one guy. He's a pastor. They came down the aisle, pushing a little cart. Said, you want white or you want red? Want white or red? Is it one of those long flights? Sent me aside, pastor. White or red? Talking about the wine. White or red? Just got done talking to him. Said, I'm a pastor. I'm saved. I pastor such and such non-denominational Baptist or non-denominational church, so and so. Pushing a little cart coming down the aisle. You want white or red? He said, I'll take red. I said, whoa. You just told me you're a Christian. See, Christians don't drink that stuff. At least they're not supposed to. What are you doing? People are watching you. What are you doing? And he said, this offends you? I said, no, it doesn't offend me. It's not right. And he said, okay, I don't want any. He had a miserable flight. I mean, he was absolutely miserable because he couldn't suck on his bottle. Look, can I tell you, you ought to live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of him.
Right.
You go out in the public world tomorrow, they need to see somebody that's real.
Amen.
They need somebody that gets out of their car, acts like a Christian, walks, talks, dresses, displays Christianity. Oh, hey, just be real all the way through. All the way through.
Amen.
Let them see Christ living through you. Let them see that. Peter looks back at his life and he said, hey, let me tell you, I remember the day when I said, I'll never deny you, Lord. Be willing to go to prison for, I'll die for you. About an hour later, at the lip of Gethsemane, Lord goes off to pray. Says, you three guys, Peter, James, and John, you stay there, you pray. Lord comes back. Says, man, you couldn't stay awake for an hour? I mean, come on, guys, 1 hour. You couldn't watch and pray for 1 hour? Shortly after that, you see Peter hiding behind the post, the pillars of the palace. Then you see him warming himself beside the devil's fire. Then you see him denying the Lord. Then you've seen him cursing. Hey, that could be you. But you don't have to be there. You could decide not to live that way. You could decide to live for God.
Amen.
Looks back at his life and he says, let me tell you, instead of being proud, be humble. He said, instead of being a coward, you be somebody that stands up, does what's right. Instead of being somebody that would take and go the wrong way, he said, you just decide you're going to go the right way. He said, just don't deny him. Just don't deny him.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.